He refused to rise to the bait, even though he was aware that all the gate warriors gathered there were watching for his reaction.
Maybe you can make it fire out here. Does that mean it's reliable in a firefight?
We'll have to see. Okay, let's do it.
She stepped up to the line drawn for the target chute and raised the rifle to her shoulder. Fumbling a switch on the side, she squeezed the trigger. A recoilless blast of light scorched through the target, raising a gasp of interest from the assembled warriors.
Hot damn, did you see that?
I could use one of those.
Pretty fucking good, even though I do say so myself. Guess maybe I can just do this shit better than you, honey.
Although annoyed, the armorer was more concerned that Margia would now certainly use the blasters in combat when he was sure that they were unreliable. JB turned and walked away without a word, aware that there was nothing he could do. If he went to Gloria, then it would mean a possible rift at a crucial time. And even if he told Ryan, there was nothing much the One-Eyed Warrior could do.
Yet another fucking problem. Shit.
The journey through the rest of the woodland was ominously quiet. To get so close to the settlement, aware that the hidden inhabitants knew they were close, yet finding no obstructions in their path, kept everyone in a state of constant tension. It helped them to stay triple red and frosty, even when all around was quiet. But the suspense was fraying their nerves into tension, and sooner or later they'd snap. It was a relief to reach the end of the woods. As with the plain, the division wasn't at all natural. The woods ended abruptly, suggesting a carefully maintained watch on nature encroaching too far into what seemed a deserted, long-since-abandoned vill. Gloria dropped to her haunches as they emerged from the woods, holding up a hand to signal a halt. She pawed at the earth, taking a handful and sniffing it. Ryan crouched beside her.
Tell you anything much?
Tells me enough, sweets. Tells me that it's been turned recently, and that it wasn't the first time. Woodland like this should spread easily. At the very least, there should be saplings for the next 100 yards where the trees reclaim the land. And there's nothing wrong with the soil. This is good, rich earth, and the texture and moisture suggest that it's been turned regularly. If this was recent, then it'd still have dry crust in it. This is loose.
She crumbled the remnants of soil in her hand through her fingers, sieving it gently until her hand was empty.
See? Nothing left here.
So they keep the area clean, but otherwise don't use it, and want anyone coming too close to think it's deserted.
Ryan cast his eye to where the old wire fencing enclosing the vill had long since vanished. A row of evenly spaced concrete posts, reinforced with steel rods, now corroded and covered with grime, stood for as far as he could see in either direction. The electrified wire that had run between the posts was little more than a memory. But this was a facade. They had already encountered the forces that surely had to live beneath the deceptively dead surface, and they'd seen and fought the results of the experiments these people had perpetrated on the Stickies. He caught sight of a lone concrete pillar, seemingly undamaged. Set deep into the concrete was an opaque lens, a SEC camera. The pillar was too high at this angle to get a good look at the deep-set camera, but the impassive blue-black lens stared unblinkingly ahead, impossible to tell whether it was dead or unobtrusively recording their arrival at the edge of the settlement. Gloria followed Ryan's gaze.
Soon find out. Just have to get ready for a reception committee.
Whatever form it takes.
Both leaders rose, and Gloria turned back to her people. Gloria's whistled series of commands carried back to the caravan's rear, where Doc gave John and Peter an amused stare. He waited until the last of the whistles had died away on the quiet morning.
I can see the use of such a system. After all, who but you would be able to define its meaning? But by the three Kennedys, it must be a devil of a job to learn.
Oh, it's always been there, since we were little. Just like learning to talk.
That's all it is. Just different talk.
And to think that when I was young, they tried to exterminate races possessing such a complex system of communication, considering them primitive. Yet who thrives now?
I think you lost us there, Doc.
Of course, young John. Such is always my fate.
The gate had begun to enter the settlement, where perhaps they would indeed meet their destiny. The first level began more than 100 feet below the surface. It was a warren of small offices and workspaces, divided and soundproofed, to mute the chatter and hum of electrical and computer equipment from building to an intolerable level of noise. Within these small units, a single operative monitored a single camera, with a vid machine recording any activity on slow speed, creating a jerky, almost surreal playback. There was hardly any activity that took place on the outside, and most of the tapes used in the vid machines had been recycled so many times that a relatively dry and warm exterior scene on playback was transformed into a winter scene, dappled with the snow of overused tape. The most they ever recorded, though, was a bunch of altered stickies returning to where they'd been released, hungry and tired and trying to find a way back into the womb that had birthed them. The Watchers worked in shifts and were allocated other tasks every few calendar months so that they didn't burn out. They had as full a life as was possible when most of their existence was beneath ground. When they were on sec monitor duty, they had to endure the most cloistered and mentally debilitating environment. They sat in a molded chair in front of the vid screen, the only sounds the loud whir and clank of the ancient vid recorders. Over the decades, these had grown louder and the machines more erratic. There were priorities, and even though there were plentiful supplies to keep the settlement in good condition, the Watchers existed in a perpetual state of emergency, where only necessities were allowed to be kept in A1 condition. The rest were relegated to a make-do-and-mend state. And because there'd been so little threat from above ground for so long, the SecVid machines had slipped further and further down the priorities list until they had almost disappeared. Which was why SecVid observer Simon Rack sat impassively in front of his monitor in a darkened room lit only by a dull red glow. If this machine hadn't been separated by the partition walls, the hideous racket amplified by the other vid machines would have been enough to drive the men insane. As it was, Rack sometimes felt close to the edge in his small room, hemmed in by drab walls barely visible in the semi-darkness. The only distractions from the screen, the intercom system that connected him to the main SecForce control room, the small chemical toilet in the corner of the room, and the jumble of wires emerging from a cavity in one corner of the room, leading into a shaft. Rack was trying to pass the time imagining how he'd spend his leisure hours, those precious few that were allotted at the end of each shift for rest and recreation. But he could only think of this damned screen in front of him and the stench he'd left in the toilet. It had been so long since he'd actually seen anything other than the odd sticky on the sec vid that it took him a moment to take in what was happening on the screen.
Oh, shit. That couldn't be them, could it? The ones who took out Shirovsky's men the other night? No, it just couldn't be, could it? Stop talking to yourself, Simon Rack. People start thinking you're fucking crazy. You know what to do.
Main room. What is it, Cy?
Al, you're not gonna believe this, but even after our little warning, they've come here. They fucking come.
No, you're shitting me, right, Cy? I mean, no one comes here. Everyone knows this is nowhere, right? That's why it's... Oh, jeez. Okay, let me deal with this.
Yeah. You deal with it, Al. Show him who's boss. Yeah, we'll fuck him up real bad. Jesus, Simon Rack, stop talking to yourself.
Once beyond the remnants of the wire fencing, there were other posts with ominously still cameras that littered the first few hundred yards. The gate caravan entered the settlement at a tangent to the main entrance, and it was some distance to the first of the roads that crisscrossed the compound. As Doc had suspected, the place was military-industrial in design, and was modeled on the area surrounding the old Pentagon, long since wiped out in the Skydark Newcost. And although this area had escaped the complete desolation of what had once been Washington State, it had received some residual damage. Many of the buildings that dotted the way showed pockmarked burn damage, exacerbated by their abandonment years ago. The settlement seemed long dead, as were the traffic signals. A camera was mounted on each signal. As they progressed slowly through the compound, Dean kept an eye on them. They, too, seemed to be no longer functioning, but he couldn't shake the idea that they were moving, just slightly, almost imperceptibly. The illuminated ones would surely know that they were coming, and it was almost certain that they would have some kind of surveillance system in operation. After all, they seemed to have a much better set of old tech than any other sec force the companions had come across. And they seemed to be able to travel using the Matrans units, a system that few people, other than the companions, had ever discovered. Despite all this, the illuminated ones seemed to be quiet. There was little sign of any action within the compound except that of the gate themselves. Gloria had dispatched a series of outriders, dodging between the buildings and checking the alleyways for any signs of life.